This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Despite being surrounded by hostile nations and with no natural resources to call its own, Israel is a hotbed for startups. WhatsApp, SanDisk and Pythagoras Solar, the maker of the world's first solar window, are some companies that were founded in Israel. Professor Dr. Yesha Sivan, Executive Director at the Koller Institute of Venture at the Tel Aviv University, why is Israel a fertile ground for entrepreneurship and innovation?
I think the fact that we are a small country and the fact that we have a very local market, the fact that we've invested a lot of money in defense, and basically the Israelis are sort of a little bit aggressive, I think that created a wonderful opportunity. Basically, 20 years ago, we started to see many, many startups coming up. They were successful globally, mainly in the US, and that created, in return, a lot of people with expertise in management and also some more angels. That led to some US-based VCs like Sequoia and Greylock to come to Israel to officially, and the cycle continues now with corporate that are in Israel. We have over 120 global corporations starting from IBM and Intel and even Huawei and Samsung who are already in Israel. So the ecosystem is very much alive and kicking, enabling people to develop new ideas and also to develop the companies all the way to an IPO or to an exit in one of the companies.
A lot of it's driven by the governments as a result of all this infrastructure spending?
The answer is yes and no. Yes, because at the end of the day, a lot of money was invested in defense, which means a lot of new technologies, a lot of engineering was done. And that was done last, you know, Israel is about 60 years old, so first 40 years, a lot of investment was done in defense. Last couple of years already, the system is working itself. I mean, the government is not very much involved in it because the system is so efficient already. In fact, we already see a few of the challenges of an advanced ecosystem. For example, many companies are started in Israel, but they are immediately being moved to New York or to San Francisco because you have global VCs in Israel that are looking at the startups. Another example is that many of the corporates are simply buying the young startups and putting them into their companies. So we see a very interesting set of trends and changes in the ecosystem, which means we have to think about it, because what exactly do we want to accomplish? Overall, we look at the venture ecosystem as composed of four different factors. You have the entrepreneurs or the ideas. You have the VCs who are actually investing the fund. You have the limited partners who are giving the money to the venture people. And you have the governments. Only the governments actually care about Israel, because the entrepreneurs can move quickly from one place to another. The VCs are investing all over the world. The LPs, of course, are not interested. So if the point of view is the point of view of creating future jobs, then one has to do a different kind of thinking. So that's a very interesting challenge.
Unemployment is quite high.
I think it's about 10%. So it's reasonably okay. The biggest problem, though, is that the entire ecosystem of startups and sort of new age knowledge companies is about 100,000 employees. I mean, the rest are sort of older factory services and things like that. And the distance between those who have and those who don't have is becoming to be a big challenge in Israel. And the government really need to look at these things more carefully.
When we say unemployment 10% in Israel seems high from this part of the world where it's about 2 to 3%.
So. Yeah, it's not considered high. I mean, this is basically sort of almost a regular friction thing. I think it's actually less. I don't know the exact numbers. But I think this is, people not say unemployment is the biggest problem. I think the difference between those who get, you know, good salaries and are knowledge workers in the high-tech area and those who are not in the high-tech area, in the periphery of Israel, is the biggest problem that we have.
You mentioned this point when the firms grow to a certain size, they move to the U.S. Yeah. Because of that's where the venture capital firms are and where you can get funding. Does that mean there's a loss of talent?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, not just loss of talent, lots of potential growth and jobs, etc. What offsets that is kind of interesting, because there are about 120 global companies with research centers in Israel. So, for example, when Google bought Waze for $1 billion, the 120 employees of Waze actually went to work for Google, and they're still in Israel. So that's actually worked out quite well.
And there's one word that you mentioned, aggressive. Are you referring to a culture, or are you referring to a way of doing business?
Both. Basically, the Israelis are really sort of gung-ho on matters. They're really not afraid to take opportunities. And also not afraid of risk. Everybody understand that if you start a business, you can fail. And that's fine. You start a business, you fail, you learn, you go to start your next business. It's not a problem. And there's no, very much in this area, especially in Hong Kong, is if you fail and that's it. It's for the rest of your life. Your mother's not going to talk to you. So that's not good. I mean, you really need to encourage failure. Often we say fail often. That's the thing. You want to make sure that you start good ideas. You give them the chance. If you identify that it's going dead end, you know, go on to the next move.
From our perspective as a media, here you have the tension with the Palestinians, but yet life seems to go on in other parts of Israel.
It's a very problematic thing. We are surrounded by people. It's not a good place to be, basically. If you look around us, Syria is a terrible place to be. So in many ways, it is affecting everybody, but we are trying to sort of keep the innovation side alive. I think this is the competitive edge. We have to do it. Israel has become an economic superpower, which enables it to basically pay for all this very costly process. I hope that we will be able to get some peace soon. That's my hope.
So what lessons can Asia learn from Israel's story, its innovation story?
So that's a very good question. I think the number one lesson is that it is impossible to copy Israel or to copy Silicon Valley. One has to build up a unique ecosystem for each of the countries. I know for a fact that Hong Kong ecosystem is different than the Shanghai or the Shenzhen ecosystem. It's probably different in Malaysia. You have to analyze exactly the situation and see what potential new things can happen that matches the area. The other thing is that the government needs to be very, very active. In that sense, I think that's the key, because the government needs to build up, much like Singapore or Taiwan, needs a sort of unfair advantages for certain companies to be in a certain area, for them to stay in the area, because otherwise, you know, globalization will take the innovation and move it to the best place around the world.
Well, in Malaysia, for example, there are more than 70 agencies just looking in the areas of entrepreneurship together with innovation. There's a lot of money that's being poured into funding. Is it possible that an ecosystem can fail if the government overdoes it?
Again, I'm not exactly familiar with the details, but I would be careful to fund just any startups. In fact, I would gamble on particular areas and focus on them. And invest, you know, find very niche topics and build a competitive advantage. I see many places, for example, create these startup competition, etc. But at the end of the day, they fund internet companies. And internet companies will never stay in Indonesia. They'll move on. They'll move to China. They'll move to Israel. They'll move to Silicon Valley. So at the end of the day, you did not create an ecosystem. So the kind of governmental programs needs to be very, very tailored to long-term employment and not just startups. Because startups themselves are nothing. I mean, they can simply move out at the end, even if they're successful.
But in Hong Kong and Singapore, there's a lot of emphasis on internet-type companies, technology.
Again, not familiar so much with Singapore, familiar with Hong Kong. And this is a grave mistake, I think, because the companies here that will be created will move out, even if they're successful. So one has to completely think about it. And I know the government is actually considering new ideas now.
You've studied clusters. How important are they in creating the right ecosystem?
I think they're very critical. Because if you want to maintain jobs, you got to give reasons for jobs to be created and stay in a certain area. And a cluster, but the right cluster, of course, not just a real estate cluster. If it's a real estate cluster, there's no competitive edge. You have to find a domain. You have to build an expertise. You have to connect with the university, with research center, with government pilots, etc. And then that can create long-lasting jobs, absolutely.
So in terms of the venture capital industry, what are some trends that you see happening the next 5 years, or what's the new generation venture capital firm?
The issue is focus. As a venture capital, you need to find your niche. If you're talking global venture capital, you need to find a domain. If you're talking local, like Indonesia, you need to find, okay, what am I going to invest in? What's going to be my take? What's going to be unique about what I'm going to do? And then really develop competitive edge in that area. Because I think globalization is basically killing everything. So if you're just investing in general stuff, the companies will move out and you will never have jobs stayed at the particular location that you intended to. If you're a financial side, then you look globally at the best companies in your field.
I suppose one challenge in Asia is because there are probably more money-chasing deals, and as a result, more VCs have just remained quite like a generalist.
That's a problem. That's a problem, and I think the role of the VCs is to find their niche and actually fund companies, you know, generously. Give them the money to build up the competitive advantages because the competition is terrible. So if once you identify something, give it more money, give it time, give it energy, bring the best people, don't save on these things. And then you can have a lasting advantage.
And that was Yesha Sivan, Executive Director of Koller Institute of Venture at the Tel Aviv University. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.